Good morning, everyone. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. These simple words, among the most familiar in all the Bible, contain the whole Christian gospel. They are words of simple trust. They invite me to lay down my fears and inadequacies and anxieties and to trust in a good shepherd who loves me and cares for me and who has already provided for me everything I need. They invite me to stop my striving and doing. They invite me to peace and rest. I live by lack. In myself, I am defined by want, emptiness, inadequacy. I want things I do need, like food and sleep and safety. And I want many things that I don't really need. Pleasures and distractions, power, a comfortable life, the honor and favor of other people. All day long, I chase after these things. All day long, I am conscious somewhere deep inside that in myself, I don't have enough. I am not enough. And that is where my deep fear and anxiety come from. The fact that I know that I am dependent on goods outside myself, and that I am often unsure whether my needs will be met and who will meet them. The world is full of people who are happy to tell me that really I am enough, that really I don't need anything outside myself. You are enough is a slogan we hear all the time in our society. And it's tempting to believe that it's true. We want to be independent, self-sufficient. We don't want to have to depend on anything or anyone else. But to believe this and to try to live our lives this way only produces more anxiety because it's a lie. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, but we were never made to be self-sufficient. We were always made to depend on God and on one another. The world is also full of people who are happy to try and convince me that what I really need is whatever they're selling. A product, a lifestyle, an idea, a political platform, a God of some kind or other. And we want to believe this too. We want to believe that such things can truly satisfy us. But these things are temporary and perishable. They might satisfy me for a little while, but they always let me down in the end. I live by lack. All around me are things that promise to satisfy me, but which ultimately cannot. As the Australian theologian Ben Myers says, I am only hunger. Affluence and technology might blind me to my need, but a morning without food is enough to show me the truth of who I am. This, by the way, is one reason the church calls us to fast. When I fast, I feel again in my gut this fundamental truth about myself, that I am empty. I constantly need to be filled up again. Like a little sheep, I am entirely helpless on my own. Well, it is Good Shepherd Sunday, the week when we reflect on this great theme of Scripture, the theme of the Good Shepherd. summarized most familiarly in Psalm 23, but really woven and developed throughout the whole Bible. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, the prophet Isaiah says that during the years Israel spent in the wilderness, God himself was their shepherd. This is a picture the scriptures pick up on in many places. After he brought them out of Egypt, God, the good shepherd of his people, led them through the wilderness to the promised land. And like a good shepherd, all along the way, he provided all that they needed so that they lacked nothing. As their good shepherd, he led them to water, actually bringing forth water from the rock. He spread a table for them in the wilderness, feeding them day by day with the very bread of angels, manna from heaven. By the great pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, he led them by sure paths, paths of righteousness in the desert. With his rod, he beat away their enemies, the Amalekites, the Midianites, Og, the king of Bashan, Sihon, king of the Amorites. With his staff, he disciplined his people when they sinned against him and brought them again and again back into the right path. He anointed them with oil, ordaining Aaron and his sons to his holy priesthood and setting up for them the divine service of worship in the tabernacle. And finally, he brought them to the green pastures and still waters of the promised land, a good and pleasant land, a land flowing with milk and honey. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2, as the people come at last to the edge of the promised land, Moses recounts to the people God's provision for them in the wilderness. These 40 years, he says, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Those years in the wilderness were not always happy or pleasant for them, mostly because of their own sinful and rebellious hearts. But Moses was right. In all that time, they lacked nothing. Because the Lord was their shepherd, they did not want. Later, we find that David himself, Israel's great king, began as a shepherd boy. That was not just a coincidence. God made this simple shepherd of sheep the shepherd of his people. Psalm 78 says this: He, God, chose David, his servant, and took him away from the sheepfolds. As he was following the ewes that were great with young, God took him, that he might feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them with a faithful and true heart and guided them with skillful hands. But David, we know, was not a perfect shepherd. And the subsequent kings of Israel failed more and more in their trust. In Ezekiel 34, God speaks harsh words of judgment against the bad shepherds, the wicked kings of God's people. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who take care only of yourselves, God says. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. So God says he will judge those wicked shepherds. He will remove them. And in their place, he himself will be the shepherd of his people. Ezekiel writes, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So when, in our gospel this morning, from the Gospel of John, Jesus starts talking about sheep and shepherds. His hearers know the background he's drawing on. They would have made the connections to God's care for his flock during their 40 years in the wilderness. And they would have been familiar too with the prophecy from Ezekiel, when God said he would remove the bad shepherds and would come to his people to be their shepherd himself. But now Jesus makes a new and astonishing claim. He says that he himself is the good shepherd. Not just a good shepherd, but the good shepherd. He says that the flock of God's people belongs to him. I lost my place. I know my sheep, he says, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Jesus is not claiming to be a merely human shepherd, an under-shepherd of God, entrusted with the flock like David had been. He says that he is not just a hired hand. Instead, he says, he is God's own son. And because he is God's son, the sheep are rightly his sheep. He is claiming that he is here to fulfill the prophecy from Ezekiel, the prophecy that God himself would come and once again shepherd his own people and search for the lost and bring back the strays and bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Those bad shepherds that Ezekiel condemns are like the hired hands that Jesus mentions in the gospel. They do not really care for the sheep. Instead, they prey on the sheep. They use the sheep for their own ends. Ezekiel says that they slaughter the sheep to feed themselves. But Jesus isn't like that. What makes Jesus the good shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. That is the difference between a bad shepherd and a good one. Between a hired hand and a true shepherd of the flock. One feeds themselves on their flock. The other leads the flock by green pastures and still waters. One runs away when trouble and danger come. The other lays down their life for their sheep. And that is just what Jesus has done. Those bad kings of old took advantage of the people, stealing from their sheep to strengthen themselves. Jesus, the good shepherd, made a table for 5,000 in the wilderness. King Herod, a bad shepherd, slaughtered the innocents in Bethlehem out of his own insecurity and fear. Jesus, our good shepherd, laid down his life, offering it up as a ransom for many. And he feeds his people with his own body and blood. My good shepherd came down from heaven, became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man, so that I lack nothing. My good shepherd was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered death, and was buried, so that I lack nothing. My good shepherd descended into hell, the very house of sin, death, and the devil, and broke down its doors and freed the captives there, so that I lack nothing. My good shepherd rose again on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, so that I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These words are not only a statement of fact, they are words that involve us. They call us to participate in them. They are a confession. To say, I shall not want, requires faith. From the midst of my want, with my fears and anxieties still raging, with my wounds still aching, with my stomach still empty. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the face of apparent evidence to the contrary, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the midst of the wilderness of sin, death, and the devil, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I look up and out, away from myself, and I find that he has indeed brought me beside still waters. He has laid for me a table in the wilderness. In these words, I confess my own lack and place all my trust in him, my good shepherd. It takes faith to confess these words, the eyes of faith to see that they are true. But they are true. The lives of all the saints bear witness to it. And I am invited to confess them and to taste and see it for myself. One of the best books I've read in the last year is a book by a man named John Andrew Bryant. It's called A Quiet Mind to Suffer With. It's a book about the author's experience of living with debilitating OCD and how it has taught him to depend more and more completely on Jesus. I commend it to you very highly. In it, he writes this: "There may come a day when, because of this awful life, you cannot be sane or capable, when you cannot be stable." Remember, the author is writing about his experience of living with mental illness. That's where this is coming from. "There may come a day when, because of this awful life, we cannot be sane or capable, we cannot be stable. But there will never come a day when we cannot be a Christian. Because a Christian is someone who depends on Christ, who can be quietly changed by depending on him. We are assured that to depend on Christ is to be given Christ, utterly and completely. Anyone who can trust can be transfigured. Anyone who can trust can be rescued, can be led, can be fulfilled." There will never come a day when we cannot be a Christian, because a Christian is someone who depends on Christ. And we are assured that to depend on Christ is to be given Christ utterly and completely. That is what we are invited to do here today on this Good Shepherd Sunday. We are invited to trust in our Good Shepherd. It sounds very simple, I know, and maybe you think, "Oh, I do trust him." Yes, I know, I do too. But I also know that it's easy to say those words until the next time I'm called to trust him with something new, something hard, something scary, something I'm not quite ready to give over to him yet, something I'm still too frightened to let go of. Our church is entering a new season. We can't see the future. We know that we need things. We need the good gifts of the Spirit. We need his provision of daily food and water. We need his rod to fight off all evil and harm. We need his staff to guide us in the right way. We need him to walk beside us through the dark valley. And we need him to spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies. But he has already promised to do all of these things. In fact, he has already done them, and he will keep on doing them. The question before us is not, will he do these things for us? The question is, will we trust him? To depend on Christ is to be given Christ, utterly and completely. Anyone who can trust can be transfigured. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.